as we were talking on Friday, Jerry was talking on Friday about illegal streaming and the costs of TV packages, and more people are going to the illegal dodgy boxes. So there is that continued debate about the rights and wrongs of illegal streaming, with an estimated 400,000 households in our country now using those so-called dodgy boxes or illegal streaming apps, despite them being illegal, definitely illegal against the law. Efforts from the authorities and the big conglomerates that charge for TV channels don't seem to be working. They don't seem to be deterring people from using these dodgy boxes. So what is behind the behaviour of those in seemingly big numbers who are willing to ignore the law on this? Now, Jerry spoke to Dr. Margaret Samahita. She is Assistant Professor at the School of Economics in UCT and a Research Fellow at the Geary Institute for Public Policy. And Dr. Samahita, her speciality is behavioural economics.
Okay, Margaret, listen, thanks very much for joining us in the programme. First of all, look, there's a number of interesting factors about this. There's been a growth, obviously, a big growth in the use of illegal streaming sites. And in one way, you can trace it back to the origins of I suppose, music piracy. But in this time now, it's television piracy in terms of accessing television channels, pay-per-view sports events, all of those things, and getting beyond the paywall for no money. And we've seen a big rise of it here in Ireland. But there's a behavioural side to all of this that we saw on our programme when we talked about it this morning, when they were talking about the drop-off in legitimate subscriptions, if I can call them that, to Sky and Virgin. And there's a combination of things going on here, isn't there, that people feel maybe it's low risk or people think things are getting too expensive. There's a lot going on which is maybe driving this behaviour.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about the behavioural drivers, first what we need to understand is that for many people, they see watching their favorite shows and watching live sport as a basic right. What we say is that their demand is quite inelastic, in the sense that, you know, when prices increase, they're not going to watch less, but rather they're going to try and find a cheaper option. And here, perceived fairness is quite an important driver. So they see that many of these companies have increased their prices. You know, we're living in a cost of living situation where there is a lot of pressure for many households. So, you know, discretionary spending like entertainment is maybe one of the first things that's easy to cut. And so when there is an alternative that is free and maybe illegal, but you see many other people subscribing, or many other people are also doing these illegal things, then, you know, the moral line kind of gets blurred and it's easy to just follow along.
How big is the risk factor here and what you see happening? There's plenty of stories about crackdowns on this and crackdowns on that, and the police are getting more sophisticated, and the anti-copyright agencies are working harder with them, but it isn't really breaking through, is it?
Exactly. And that's important. You see, the costs and benefits are quite asymmetric, right? So the benefits are very immediate, you know, convenience of watching right now, whereas the cost is quite vague and very distant in the future. Maybe a legal crackdown at some point, but there are very, you know, few cases where this is affecting individual viewers, right? So many people just see it as a costless crime. That's in.
Yeah. And they might see a story of some provider that might have, you know, 1,000 customers or 2 million customers or whatever the number is. That provider might get in trouble, but the individual end users aren't so far.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Margaret, how much of an issue is price when it comes to this? And also allied to that, the fracturing of the market. What we've seen, you go back 15 years, 20 years, you paid one subscriber, they had all the sports, or maybe there was two in the market, one had half the games, the other. Now it's a total jungle.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not just material euro price that people are paying that, you know, we see have increased, but also there's the effort cost as well that has increased quite substantially, right? So there's what we call subscription fatigue, where an extra subscription is an extra login, an extra password, an extra bill that you have to remember. And a lot of these mental burdens can add up, not just in terms of what you pay, but also in terms of your mental load.
Yeah, and it's also an extra direct debit that you have to keep an eye on.
Exactly, yeah. So it all adds up in the end.
How much of a factor do you think is the number of television streaming services separate from the sports side of it, like the arrival of Netflix Paramount, HBO's coming into this part of the world now, I think. And there's any number of them, really, on, even on that side of it, separate to sport.
Yeah, yeah. It all contributes to the, you know, fracturing of the market, right? Like in the back in the day, you can just get a Netflix subscription for, you know, 10 euros a month and you can watch everything there. But now there are just too many options. And, you know, choice overload is a thing as well, that too many options can make people less likely to want to commit to one thing because they feel like they're missing out on other things.
Mm. How big is fairness? This idea behind the prices being charged are unfair. And this is a way of people hitting back at the big companies.
I think it's a big factor. So most people are probably already paying for something, maybe one Netflix license, maybe one sports package. And then they see that, well, if I want to watch this other match, I have to pay extra. And, you know, they feel like, well, I'm already paying for something. Why should I pay for something else? So it can feel quite unjustified to, you know, have to pay extra. And, you know, the prices increasing doesn't help that either.
Yeah. And does that feed in the other side to it, the as countering the argument that's made by the content creators or by the sporting bodies or by those who say, look, if you do this, then you're going to harm the sporting organization. You're going to harm the independent production company, the actors, the people who work in the industry to provide this stuff. It doesn't seem to cut through, does it? Or does that, it's not winning the battle in the hearts and minds of people when they think about, this has all gone crazy. It's gone way too high. There's too many of them. I'm not paying it.
Yeah, I mean, that argument, it makes sense, but it is also quite a far-reaching, you know, you have to make the link between what I'm doing today on my television and, you know, the organization. That's quite a far...
They're too far away.
Yeah, really. Exactly. Exactly. And basically what viewers are thinking of, well, you know, if I'm watching illegally, maybe that's costing the streaming company something, and they're already, you know, a big profit making machine. They don't need any more money. So it can feel like you're leveling up the playing field a little bit by going to illegal option.
That side of it appeals to people as well.
Exactly.
Back, it's the big evil company that's charging me everything. I'm paying so much more for everything these days. This is my little way of getting back.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Margaret, is this going to present a challenge for the companies economically? Obviously, it will. We're seeing governments respond to obviously lobbying, and governments are concerned about the film industries in their countries as well. So there's a bit of that going on. But do companies put a lot of money into behavioral economics in terms of what's the price my customer is willing to bear? Now, I know new technology is coming in here, which is changing things for them as well. And even this morning, I learned that you don't even have to have a box anymore. You can just do it off your phone and stream to your TV. So maybe that's harder to track. I don't know. But how much of a factor is that, do you think, for big companies looking at that price test that they do with people?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've really thought through the behavioral mechanisms, because if they were, then I think they should realize quite easily that, you know, too much fracturing of the market is making things very difficult for them and for their customers. So maybe one way the industry can kind of win back some customers is to make things a lot simpler, whether that be rebundling, you know, offering one package that contains everything, or going the other route where things are very flexible, where you just do, you know, pay per watch, basically make things very simple rather than complicated.
Yeah, yeah. Does that mean they've got things wrong? 400,000 households in Ireland.
They've
dropped the ball, to use the sporting parlance. They've dropped the ball on this over the last number of years.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So they'll certainly have to rethink it. We'll see where it goes from here. But Margaret, look, thanks so much for giving us your view on the behavioural side of things. One last question. How do people who legally do it feel? Are they feeling increasingly stupid, or why am I doing this? Now, there's some people who just, they generally will not want to break the law, and they'll say, look, no, I'm going to pay for it. I'll do it on something else if I really want it. They just have that strong belief that this isn't the right thing to do. And there probably are some who are saying, you know, the content makers deserve money as well. But is that, if people are seen as getting away with it, is that going to lead to a growth maybe in people saying, look, I'm not paying for this anymore?
Yeah. I think that's an interesting question, right? So I think the more that you discuss the fact that many people are doing it illegally could backfire in the sense that it could lead those who are doing the right thing to think, well, you know, maybe the other
people... Beat them, join them.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be an interesting question to study.
fascinating interview there by Jerry with Dr. Margaret Samahita, who's Assistant Professor at School of Economics in UCD, and she's also a Research Fellow at the Geary Institute for Public Policy, and her speciality is behavioural economics, looking at so many of us using dodgy boxes and illegal streaming apps, even though it's against the law, and the fact that that's not acting as a deterrent. And it's not just, it's obviously about price. People are paying less money, even though it is illegal. But also, I think she talked there about subscription fatigue. A lot going on there, a lot to unpack. And we'll be podcasting that interview that Jerry did with Dr. Samahita.